Scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 15. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the wealth that will belong to me." So he divided his assets between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant region, and there he squandered his wealth in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that region, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that region, who sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, but here I am dying of hunger? I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servant, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now the elder son was in the field, and as he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, and yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The word of God for the people of God.
Isn't it great to know that there were plenty of dysfunctional families in Jesus' day, too? A younger child who asks for their inheritance long before it's due, then promptly runs off and squanders it, gets in way over his head, finally comes to his senses and comes home with his proverbial tail between his legs, and gets rewarded with an unbelievably extravagant welcome home party. A father, embarrassed by his younger son's improprieties, wondering where, oh, where did he go wrong with this child of his? Very possibly wrapped in a combination of shame and deep loss around the child's behavior. Overjoyed by seeing this child, whom he was convinced he would never see again, coming home, really, really coming home. And then acting crazily, recklessly, outrageously, throwing a party for the ages so that his son and everyone around — this was a huge party — so that everyone would know that coming home is cause for great celebration. A parent caught in the vortex of sibling rivalry and resentment, when his elder son is appalled, hurt, angry that his brother, whom he now won't even call his brother, the one who messed up so royally, the one who disgraced their father and their entire family in any number of ways, the one who had to come home because he screwed up so badly, out of money, starving, that's the one that gets the best party ever. What's fair about that? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. An eldest child, hardworking, totally obedient, carrying on the family name and tradition with honor, never causing any problems, always so good that he felt like he rarely and perhaps actually did not get the attention from his father that he too ached for, justifiably outraged at his younger brother for disgracing their father and family, justifiably outraged at his father for the outsized, you have got to be kidding me, party he chose to throw his brother simply for crawling back home, so hurt, so confused, so mad that he can't even conceive of attending such a party. So where, I ask, are you in this story? Are you the parent? I'm sure many of you who are parents can relate to the father in this parable on any number of levels. Are you the eldest child, the good daughter or son, the one no one ever has to worry about, the successful one, the goody two-shoes, the one who never really has gotten so much attention in the family because so much energy has had to go to a prodigal sibling or more? Are you the younger child in the story? You've done more than your share of foolish things. Maybe you ran away, squandered an inheritance, whether that inheritance was material or a special talent you inherited or an education that others worked hard to provide for you. Maybe you had to go through some very hard times before you realized all you had thrown away and knew that you needed to start over, even if it meant turning back in humility and seeking forgiveness for all that foolishness and wrongdoing. Every single character in this well-known parable of Jesus understood themselves, or perhaps we can understand them, to be seeking something and someone lost. The father was obviously seeking a child he had lost. The younger son may have been seeking the most, actually, a home, a welcome, a father who was lost to him because of his own decisions and choices. The elder son, the totally faithful, loyal one, suddenly upon his wayward brother's return, found himself desperately seeking a number of things he believed he had lost. Recognition, understanding, visibility, and perhaps the ability to forgive. Every single character in this well-known parable of Jesus was seeking to be restored to wholeness, seeking salvation, seeking reconciliation, seeking to be loved and to love, seeking amazing grace. Yet what brings wholeness to one of us does not necessarily bring wholeness to another one of us. For the younger child, a bit more wholeness looked like the "I can't believe this is happening" wide open welcome of the parent he had disgraced and run away from. For the parent, a bit more wholeness looked like the return of that long lost child. For the elder child, a bit more wholeness looked like, looked like and seemed like something he never got. Why? The elder child in this parable seemed to believe wholeness was based on his own hard work and faithfulness. Wholeness, recognition, status, honor are things you earned. If you don't earn it, you don't deserve it, and you shouldn't get it. What's fair is fair. And you especially shouldn't get rewarded for doing the opposite of what you should have done in the first place. For all these years, I have been working like a slave for you and never disobeyed your command. I've done everything right. I'm beyond reproach. I'm the perfect one, yet you have never even given me a small party with my friends. What's wrong with this picture? The elder child in this parable, like so many of us, gets caught up too easily in a measuring game, keeping score. It's like an infinite loop of comparisons that have to result in someone, maybe you, maybe another, someone coming out on top and someone coming out on the bottom. And that must be the case, because love, whether it's the love of a parent, the love of a sibling, the love of oneself, the love of God, love, from this point of view, is a limited commodity. There's not enough of it to go around, so I want to be sure I get my fair share, and to be just as sure that another doesn't get any more than they deserve either. Yet love, the parable seems to suggest. Love, call it wholeness, call it grace, call it salvation, love is unlimited. It is outrageous, it is amazing, it is grace, and it is prodigal. It is the love that is prodigal, wastefully or recklessly extravagant, lavish, generous beyond imagining. Love is not earned. Love is a gift, always, always a gift. When love is given or received in any quantity, there is always more, more, more of it to go around. We humans are beings on a quest for wholeness, a quest for love, a quest for God. We long for restoration, for reconciliation, for grace, even when we are too far from home to realize it. Even when we are too wrapped up in our own scorekeeping to realize it, especially when we have one child pulling us in one direction and another child pulling us in the opposite direction. I also happen to believe that our God longs for restoration, for reconciliation, and for wholeness. I believe God's heart is not as full or as whole as it can be if one of us, even one of us, chooses to live as though it is possible to be apart from God. Like the parent's heart in this parable. However, we can, and often do, live as though we are apart from God. And I believe that pains God every bit as much as it pained that father in this parable, when his younger son ran away and squandered all he had been given. And I believe God is every bit as pained when the elder son could not find it within himself to extend forgiveness to his brother and share in the celebration of homecoming. Our God is always on watch, on the watch, searching the horizon for those who have turned around and started back home. God is always on the watch, searching just outside of any of God's houses for those who have great difficulty understanding that God's love is neither something to be earned or only available in limited quantities. Our God is always on the watch. And the celebrations and the feasting are prepared for everyone. Each one of us, the family, God's family, the table, Christ's table, the welcome table is not complete without your presence or my presence. Younger child, elder child, middle child, parent. Yes, grace is amazing and it is for you. Thanks be to God, our recklessly extravagant, our lavishly loving, our prodigal God. Amen and amen. Amen.